Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. But much more importantly, Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield is our very special guest. A continuing series with the author of Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. Again, Dr. Janet Smith-Warfield is our very special guest. Dr. Warfield, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Frank. Just flying with conversations, fascinating conversations.
Yeah. Well, and promoting a book, and I know you've done that for years, and doing the public speaking, it has to be, I want to use the word fluid. In other words, you go up there and it's affected by what's happening around you, what's happening in the world. And I know you're no stranger to current events. You don't avoid current events. How does the atmosphere in the world change what you talk about, what you write about, and what you discuss with people?
I think the basic principles are always the same. You mentioned being aware of your surroundings. That's vital. Being aware of the energies of the people that you're speaking with. The way a person speaks tells me so much about who they are. Words speak volumes, not about something that is out there, but about the way a person perceives the world out there. So someone who uses a lot of abusive and put down and blaming and shaming language is not certainly in a space of personal peace or in a space of leadership and ability to become a model for the rest of the people in the world. So the way we use our words is really important, and the intention behind the way we use our words is really important. It's important to get clear about what we want to accomplish with our words. Do we want to tear somebody else down so that we theoretically can feel more important? I can tell you it doesn't work. Or do we want to use our words to build other people up? And I can tell you most of the time, that's much more effective. And it puts, it shifts your own energy into a space of appreciation and gratitude. But it's also, you're also in a space of freedom and choice, because you get to choose the words that you put out into the world. And the words you put out into the world affect not only everybody around you, but also you personally. And I find it really useful in my own life to think about what kind of words are aligned with my own needs, my own values, my own principles, my own ethics, and then put those words out into the world as well as I'm able. And they are never perfect, and they change from situation to situation, depending on what the dynamics are. There's a concept in Buddhism that's just awareness.
I was just going to ask you about that. You spoke about this off mic, and you called it right speech. Is that correct?
Yes, it's one of the Buddhist Noble Eightfold Path concepts. And it ties in with several others, which would include right intention, right view, and right action. And they're all interrelated. But and right speech, you can't say that anyone's set of words is right speech. That's a very doctrinal perspective, because words are energetic vehicles that, and powerful vehicles that can affect everything around us. And we can learn to use them effectively and powerfully, not to put other people down. That's power over. But to use them as a power with to co-create a peaceful, powerful, prosperous planet, which is something that together we can do. If you're looking at a basic rule, and I may have mentioned this before, it would be do whatever you want. And this gets into the right action. Do whatever you want as long as you aren't hurting either yourself or someone else, to the best of your ability. And we never figure this out perfectly. I can have a very pure intent with the words I speak, but I never know what the effect of those words is going to be on another person. So I have to watch and see what the effect is. And if the effect seems to be not what I had intended, then I need to explore further, and ideally with that person. And we need to talk. We need to converse. We need to get clear on what each one of us means by the words we use.
If you're just tuning in or just turning on your computer or your radio, Frank McKay here with Dr. Janet Smith Warfield, and a wonderful author, best-selling author, and we're discussing words, which is her focus in life has been words and actions and how people use these skills around their words. In fact, the name of the book is Shift. Change Your Words, Change Your World. And it's just a wonderful read. Everyone should buy this. And let's get into Buddhism a little bit. And I know very little about Buddhism, and I'm sure a lot of the folks out there listening also know very little about Buddhism. Can you benefit? I mean, this is a rhetorical question, basically, but I imagine you could benefit greatly from studying Buddhism, even if you don't practice it as a strict religion or a religious path. Is that correct?
I wouldn't claim to be an expert in Buddhism at all. There are many, many people who know much more about Buddhism than I do. But I've been able to relate a lot of concepts in Buddhism and in other religions as well to my own life experience. And personal life experience is the core or the base from which our own words emanate or emerge or are created. So if you start with personal experience and then you search for the words that are going to express what you're experiencing, and there's so many ways you can do this. You can do it along a chronological timeline, and a story would be. You can do it in imagery or poetry. You can do it in questions. You can do it in mind-bending puzzles like Zen Buddhist cones. So where I hook into Buddhism is the right speech, right intention, right view, and right action portions of the Eightfold Noble Path. As I say, I'm not an expert on this, but those four concepts so clearly shape for me my own life experiences and what I need to get clear on in my own life. And we always have a choice. Each and every one of us is always free to choose in every situation. This is one of the things that's so important about free speech and choosing your words wisely. You have a choice. You always have a choice as to whether you speak or you remain silent. And if you speak, the words that you choose to speak in a particular situation. And that probably depends on what your intentions are. So you need to get really clear on your intentions. You see how much within freedom, and also with freedom goes personal responsibility. But when you are in choice, you are in control of your own life, and you step into your personal power in each and every situation. Holding that integrity is not always easy, because when you stand in your own truth, you will get bashed by people who haven't lived the life you have lived and don't understand the words you are speaking. So you need to protect your own energetic field from the bashing, but you also always need to stand in your own truth.
I mean, it's wonderful. And you've mentioned a couple times about not being an expert. I don't know what the definition of expert is. I'm sure it varies from person to person. But I'm not sure you have to be an expert on something to teach somebody about it. I mean, if I'm certainly no expert on, basketball. But if you were to come along, I've watched enough basketball to explain the finer points of the games, but I could explain some of the basics to you somewhere along the line. And again, I'll remind people who they're listening to. Frank McKay here, but more importantly, Dr. Janet Smith Warfield is our very special guest, and you can listen to our series here. You can binge listen to our series here. She's the author of a wonderful book, Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. But you mentioned that your parents were both teachers, and the amount of learning that came from them had to be tremendous. My father was a teacher, and I guess that's what he did. That's what he gravitated towards, teaching different things, and whether it was about trivia or sports or something like that, I guess that's where his direction would go. Are there certain rules that you learned as a child? And I don't mean rules in the basic sense of the word, but I mean rules. Were there what were they laid out for you? Did your parents say, "Well, live your life like this, and everything will fall into place"? Did you get any absolutes as far as living your life growing up, even though you were raised by two teachers? Or did that come later on? These beliefs or some kind of list of standards, did it come later on? Did it come early on? When did you learn to start having some kind of guideline in your life and running your life with the use of some type of aid like that, some type of list?
I don't work with lists, first of all. And my parents didn't work with lists. My parents modeled the rules. They were kind with one another. They supported one another. They supported me. We had a lot of fun together as a family. A lot of our focus was just, it wasn't being forced to learn certain...
By example? By example more?
It was absolutely by modeling and by example. That's how I learned from my parents, for the most part. How things, and there was always this, let's go explore, let's go observe, let's go see if we do this, what happens. So let's notice the world around us and our interactions with it. And from that, we can make choices as to how to move forward. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. They've always been made with a pure intention, but they haven't necessarily had a good effect. So that I have learned... I'm a little cautious about using these words, but I'll use them. I have learned how to do things right by doing them wrong. Mm-hmm. Because when you do things, and I'm putting the word wrong and right in quotes, when you do things wrong, you suffer and everybody around you suffers. When you do things right, everyone is working together like a team. They love one another. They support one another. They have each other's backs, and they accomplish wonderful things together. So it's more a practical application, and it's putting ideas out there, trying them out, observing how they work, and then choosing the ones that, in Buddhist terms, create minimal suffering, the least possible suffering.
Yeah. I love it.
I don't know what to say beyond that.
No, I think it's wonderful. To be honest with you, I guess mostly have learned from trial and error. But at one point, I got into, and I think it was Napoleon Hill was the first. But I got into self-help, reading all the classic self-help success philosophers, and Napoleon Hill was one, and Dale Carnegie was one, and Norman Vincent Peale, and even parts of each one of these, Wright and Deepman later, Deepak Chopra, who I've got a tremendous amount of respect for. But so many of these folks lay out the same basic ideas, and a lot of it is based around optimism and doing the right thing and not, you know, doing things with the right intention. And it's interesting that you bring this up as part of the Buddhist teachings. And it's it's much of this is universal. Again, another reminder, Dr. Janet Smith Warfield is our special guest, and you are hearing her voice when I'm not speaking, and just the wonderful words coming out of her. But so much of this is universal, and it's I have to believe that it's not something we just discovered when Tony Robbins wrote a book, or when way back when Dale Carnegie wrote his how to win friends and influence people, or Stephen Covey, these aren't new ideas; these are ancient ideas, and somewhere along the line, the people found that by thinking about things and talking about things and thinking about the greater good. And I think a lot of that came to prominence with the Greeks, or at least that's where we started to see it. But right or wrong, these are long-term thoughts. We're just putting them basically in newer forms and new idea, fresher ideas, or maybe we're changing some things. Right or wrong, but we've been talking about the same things for thousands of years at this point.
No, I absolutely agree with that. There is a, let's call it, a universal human experience that takes different forms depending on the person who has had that experience and the way they choose to express it, so that all the expressions are different. They're maps of the experience. But there is this life-changing experience where suddenly an individual, through free choice, not through pressure by anybody, chooses to act differently. And in that choice of changing their own conduct, suddenly, I don't even know how to talk about this, and it is considered ineffable. It's a sudden consciousness shift, like looking at an optical illusion, where first you see the old hag, and then you see the beautiful young woman.
Right.
That's what this kind of experience is similar to. That's an analogy or in a metaphor, an optical illusion. But how do you talk about a consciousness shift? If you're looking at an optical illusion and first you see the old hag and then you see the young woman, what's really there? You can't answer that question. And how do you talk about it? Because depending on your perception, you're going to use different words to talk about what you see. And if you put two people together, one of whom sees the old hag and the other of whom sees the young woman, they're going to be totally miscommunicating, and they may well get into a word battle about who's right and who's wrong. That's because they're fighting about the maps, and neither one of them is able to see from the opposite perspective. When we can see from both perspectives, then we can shift, when we're in conversation, we can shift to using the language the other person is using, and perhaps even offer them a different way of seeing. Now, if they suddenly see from a different perspective, that's a consciousness shift. That's an awakening. That's an aha. That's salvation. That's transformation within a very specific context. And you were talking before about universals versus the individual expression of them. If you think in terms of a hologram, in a hologram, each tiny part actually represents the whole. So the very specific tiny part, which is each one of us on this planet, contains the entire universe within us.
Well, listen, keep your thought.
And how we...
Yeah, keep your thought right there.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. We're just up on a break. Dr. Janet Smith Warfield is our very special guest, and wait for our part two coming up right now, right after this quick break. Frank McKay here, but more importantly, the author of Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World, is our very special guest, a continuing series. And right after this quick break, we'll have more from Dr. Janet Smith Warfield.